Well, our purpose today coincides with that question, believest thou this? It's a matter of faith. The matter of our trust of God. That word believe, or a form of it, is found 6 times from verse 25 down through verse 42. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the very important message of believing Him. Of believing Him. The Lord wants us to trust Him regardless, no matter what's going on in our lives. No matter if it's good or bad, in spite of the blessings or the trials, we can rest our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Resting in Him. Well, there's a few things, and there's so much more. Jesus is always on time. Sometimes we may question that in our humanity, in our flesh. But we can be assured that Jesus is always on time. And we pick up in our passage at the beginning of chapter 11. We read there. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair." What an amazing display of her devotion. "Whose brother Lazarus was sick." Well, it goes on in verse 3. It says, "Therefore, or because of this, his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death." Interesting. "It's not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby," or in this sickness. Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, confirming what the sisters had said. "He whom thou lovest," speaking of Lazarus, "is sick." We heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode, or he remained 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wow. Is God always on time? Yes, he is. At the time of Lazarus' illness, it was getting very difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ to even be in the area around Jerusalem in Judea, as we read, as we would read earlier. The Jewish leaders were looking for an opportunity to arrest him. And of course, their desire was to get him out of the way. They wanted to kill the Lord Jesus. In that 10th chapter, just a few verses back in verse 39, we read this. "Therefore they," speaking of the Jewish leaders, "sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan," or beyond the Jordan River, "unto the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode." Well, that's where we find him. That's where he received the news concerning Lazarus' sickness. And so we hear this, or we read of this desperate message that was sent from Bethany. The sisters send word to Jesus about this severe sickness that Lazarus was undergoing. And it was clear that this was not, it was not the common cold. It wasn't some minor sickness, but that Lazarus was taken with a very serious ailment. Martha and Mary are confident of the Lord's love for their brother. They're confident of that. And it's interesting to note that they don't ask him to come in those words. I don't know what the entire message was, but it's not recorded for us that they even requested for him to come. Can I read between the lines? They are at peace that Jesus will come. Because he loves Lazarus. Because of his love for Lazarus. In fact, in response to the message, Jesus says that this sickness is not unto death. Now keep that in your mind as we go through the passage. Death would get involved. Death would rear its ugly head, but it would not have the victory. Huh? So important. We see the desperate message from Bethany, but also notice the deliberate delay of the Lord. His deliberate delay. We read there in verse 6. It says, when he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wow. He remained. John 10, verse 40, we read, tells us that at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ is on the east side. When it would speak of him being beyond Jordan, it would be speaking of him being on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And that place where John the Baptist had done his baptizing. Anon was on the west side of the Jordan River, and Bethabara was across the river on the west side. So we come to the conclusion that that is the location, or the general location, where Jesus was with his disciples at this time. It's about 35 miles. Approximately 35 miles from Bethany when the word came concerning Lazarus' sickness. Now, beloved, we don't read here that the reason for Jesus' delay is because of some present circumstance that's going on. Something that's taking place there where he was. Be mindful of this as we try to sort this out. If Jesus would have left immediately when he got that word that Lazarus was gravely ill, if he would have pushed hard and took no breaks, it would have taken at least 9 hours to make the trip to Bethany. But our passage says the Lord chose to delay his going for 2 more days. It would have taken at least, again, 35 miles. It would have taken at least a good day to make that trip at an average walk without breaks. And so we can conclude that it may well have taken Jesus a full day of walking and possibly part of a second day. Wow. With all that said, and all the considering of the distance, it is probably the reality that Lazarus was already dead. That Lazarus had probably died shortly after the messenger had left Bethany to go to Jesus. As we find out later, that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. The conversation of the disciples with Jesus there where they were makes it obvious they didn't have a clue of what was really going on. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand what was really going on. But beloved, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay that they didn't understand. They then and us now, we don't have to understand everything that God's doing. Huh? We don't have to know what God's complete and full plan is going on at any point. Remember, this event is about trusting God. The message of this passage, the reason Jesus delayed was to teach them, Martha and Mary, the others, that they needed to believe him. Trust him. Trust him. We need to confidently, listen, we need to confidently believe that God has his plan. Amen. for us. God has a plan for us. Everyone involved with Lazarus's sickness and his impending death will soon learn that God is always working his plan and he's never late. Regardless of what we may think. Regardless of our reasoning or our thinking. What does Romans chapter 8 verse 29 tell us? And we know what? We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. God's working out his purposes in his plan for you and I that love him. That love him. Indeed. And we see then finally the determination, the decision to go to Lazarus. We read on here in verse 7. Then after that, after he'd waited the 2 days, then after that saith he, Jesus, to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Causes real concern. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They're very concerned for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're concerned for their master. Again, mindful to their understanding, what did Jesus tell them? Lazarus wasn't, his sickness wasn't unto death. Amen. They're concerned about Jesus. They're concerned about their master. And oh my, are you sure we should return to Judea? He answers. Verse 9, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Because on verse 11 says, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I have a purpose for going. Now again, we mentioned the disciples were afraid for Jesus if he returned to Judea. But our Savior, the Son of God, knows what he's doing. Do you hear that? Jesus knows what he is doing. Do we believe that? He fully understands this is his day. This is his time. He has ministry to accomplish. He's not walking in the dark. He knows full well what he's doing. And it was not yet time. The time was drawing closer. But it was not yet time for the Jewish leaders to have their way. To seek his death. He goes on. These things we've just read in verse 11. That I may awake him out of sleep, he says, is the reason for going. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. We understand that. When we don't feel good, what we want to do? Our bodies tell us, go to bed. Get some rest. And Jesus has to be blunt with them. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought he was spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm sure they were confused. I'm sure they're confused. Earlier he told them that this sickness was not unto death. Is the master wrong? Was he wrong about this? Was there another messenger come? No. No, on both counts. No. But he's determined now that he will return to Judea. Verse 15, he tells them, I'm glad. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Again, that word believe. That ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Again, the disciples, they think, well, this is suicide to go back up there. But let's go. Hey, we're men. We'll go and we'll take whatever comes, even if it means death. Yes. We're told that they wait 2 days. Now they're returning to Judea. But we see as our second point to be mindful of that not only is Jesus always on time, but that Jesus is a friend in time. He is a friend like no other. His dear friends in Bethany, his beloved Lazarus has died. Wow. Let me read a couple more verses here. Verse 17, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. So again, reminds us that quite likely, Lazarus died shortly after the messenger had left Bethany to reach Jesus. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. It's just probably less than 2 miles from the city. It says that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They're there to console them, as we do, and encourage them at this time of their brother's death. And so, when Jesus arrives at Bethany, what does he find out? That his friend has been in the tomb for 4 days. Wow. But again, Jesus already knew that, didn't he? He already knew that his friend was dead. The mourners are there with the grieving sisters. What could be done now? What could be done now? His friend is dead and buried. Nothing to be done but for the Lord to go to the family and try to encourage them in their grief. It's the way we'd think, isn't it? It's the way we would think. But again, believe that God's timing is always perfect. And what's the question? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Yes, indeed. Well, Jesus makes a promise to Martha here. In the coming verses, Martha finds out that Jesus has come. In verse 20 it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, she sat still in the house. She remained at the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In those verses that we read a few moments ago, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the question again, believest thou this? Amen. Jesus makes a promise to Martha. And with that promise, Martha makes a tremendous statement of faith. She has a tremendous expression of her faith. And again, as we deal with this family, and at that time when Mary and Martha were there in the house, and where's Mary at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is serving. Well, beloved, it seems that Martha's often minimized as someone that was more concerned about working than worshiping. More concerned about working than worshiping. She had the gift of service. God put that in her heart. We remember in that story how the Lord had gently chided her when she came to him and wearily asked him to tell my sister to help me. And of course, Jesus' words to her, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. But remember, it's significant that before that, it was Martha that invited Jesus to their house that day. It was Martha who had that heart to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. This statement of faith is no small thing that she makes in these verses. It tells us that Martha was doing more than dishes when Jesus was there at the house. She believed. She believed that Jesus certainly could have healed her brother. She believed it. In fairness, verse 32, Mary makes the exact same statement. Not taking anything away from Mary at all. She makes the exact same statement. Even so, Martha expresses her faith in the power of Jesus Christ to heal. Now get this. As we read this verse, it seems that Martha did not believe that if Jesus was there, he would have allowed Lazarus to die. I think she's right. I'm not mindful of anybody dying in the presence of Jesus in the New Testament and staying dead. Thus, or because of that, Jesus chose to stay away. He chose to stay on the other side of Jordan until after Lazarus was dead. She believed that Jesus could have healed her brother. She believed, now get this, it's sort of hard to get our head around. She believed that Jesus could still do for her brother. Did you get that? What does it say? And whosoever, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Yes, she believed that Jesus even still could have the ear of God and act. We can take these words for what they simply say. But the rest of their conversation seems to lend the element of doubt. An element of doubt. Jesus promises that her brother would rise again. And like the disciples, Martha doesn't know what Jesus is about to do. She doesn't understand what his plan is. Remember what Jesus said back in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. What's it tell us? Everything that's taking place is according to God's plan. He's working out his purposes for Lazarus, for Martha, and for many. Jesus will be glorified for what he's going to do. And as we'll find out, many, it says, will believe on him. They'll put their faith, their trust in him. Everything going on in Bethany is according to God's plan. But a question. Do you think God has a plan for you? Do you believe that God has a plan for you? That his purposes are very real for you? Of course he does. Of course he does. Trust him. Trust him and allow him to accomplish that plan. in your life. Trusting. Oh, my. Well, we see the Lord Jesus' great declaration here. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And his question to Martha again was what? Believest thou this? Do you believe, Martha? I believe, she says. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha understood some things. Mary wasn't the only one listening to Jesus. Martha understood. Martha knew who her beloved master truly was. Did you get that? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Very few understood that. Martha did. Martha did. We go on and we see the Savior. We see the Lord Jesus' tears with Mary. Verse 28, as we pick up on our passage, it says, and when she had so said, she went her way, called Mary, her sister, secretly, or she went off to the side, probably whispered in her sister's ear, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, it comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, when I read that, identical words to her sister's words. Do you think they'd had a conversation about that? If only the Lord had been here. If only the Lord had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Both of them recite those words when they see him. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then those words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Wow. We've seen here, we've read that Mary now goes to Jesus. Martha had returned to the house and tells Mary that Jesus has come and he's calling for her. And immediately Martha rises up and makes her way, goes to the Lord Jesus. And when she reaches him, I think we can understand this. When she reaches to where he is, her emotions overwhelm her. Yes, she records, she speaks those same words as her sister, with the one difference. She's again at his feet. She's at his feet. Weeping. Weeping. And the idea of that word weeping isn't just simply sobbing. The idea of the word is to be wailing, is to be crying with great emotion. Mary's crying from the depths of her being. And Jesus weeps with her. What a precious thing. Oh, there's been a lot of conjecture about what's going on here in the Spirit of our Lord. It says he groans in his spirit. The word that word used there has different meanings. Sometimes it has the meaning of being indignant. Sometimes it has the idea of being agitated, deeply agitated. It depends upon the context of the passage, what the meaning is. Some say that Jesus was to some extent upset with the sisters and with the crowd because they because of their lack of faith. They say that they should have known that Jesus was there to raise Lazarus from the dead. But how could they know that? How could they know that? How could they know that? How could they know what Jesus was about to do? He was about to do something that had never been done before. Yes, he had raised others from the dead, but not after they'd been in the grave for 4 days. Martha will protest to him in verse 39 when he asks for the stone to be removed. She protests, "Oh Lord, he's been in the grave for... surely he stinketh. His body is seeing corruption by now." Huh? And yes, Jesus knows what he's going to do. But still, can it not be that the man... listen. Can it not be that the man Jesus, who loved these three folks, is caught up in the emotion, the grief that they are experiencing? Cannot his spirit be touched by the grief of these two sisters? Can it not be that Jesus is simply deeply moved, even indignant? Now listen to this. Brokenhearted over the sister's grief, but maybe even indignant concerning the devastation of death. Huh? Indignant. The devastation and death and the grief that it brings to man. All of this, why? Beloved, remember, all of this is as the result of sin. For the wages of sin is death. It's death. Can we not see? Can we not agree that there's a great conflict at work in our Savior? In the heart of our Savior, His very Spirit. Listen. His humanity is on display through His tears. And very soon, His all-powerful deity will be displayed in a unique, can we say, one-of-a-kind miracle. Verse 34. Jesus wants to know, where have you laid him? Where is he? Where is the body? Huh? The crowd. The crowd now is made up of family. His disciples are there. And those mourners that are gathered, they have followed Mary out to the Lord Jesus. They're all gathered about to witness the greatest miracle in the ministry, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Wow. Third thing. Jesus is always on time. Amen. Jesus is a friend in time. And Jesus is our hope for all time. For all time. As we read here, we'll pick up verse 36, then said the Jews, notice this, notice these words. Then said the Jews, those that were gathered around, behold how he loved them. Behold how he loved them. Third time in the chapter that Jesus' love for this family is mentioned. Behold how he loved them. Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, I think we can see through this one. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. He's doubted, isn't he? The crowd that's there, they're saying, who is this guy? He can do all these miracles for others. He couldn't do for this one who he loved. Have you ever expressed that emotion? How come God didn't do for my dad when he was sick? How come God let my wife die or my husband? Huh? The question, believest thou this? He's doubted because of this death. The crowd witnessed Jesus' love for Lazarus. They knew it, but they questioned his ability to heal. They were questioning just who he was. Jesus groans again. And it seems obvious this time what's going on. He's aggravated with this crowd. He's agitated with their unbelief. Their unbelief. But he, Jesus, is our hope over the grave. Huh? Christian, Jesus is our hope over the grave. Lord just reminded me of some years ago. I was back up in Ohio in the little town where my mother is buried. My father's joined her there in that grave. And I thought, I've just got to go back. I was going by and I turned around and I went back to the cemetery and I drove back in to where the grave is. And I stood there for a moment. Then God reminded me, she's not here, Jim. She's not here. She's not here in this tomb. She's alive. She's alive. Oh, remember, dear ones, those ones that have gone on ahead, that beloved one, that dear family member, that close friend that have gone on. Hey, they're alive in Jesus Christ. He is our hope over the grave. And then we see this surprising command. Verse 38, Jesus therefore, groaning again in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Lord, by this time, his body is seeing the corruption that mere flesh experiences. Surely, he even stinketh. The scene's full of tension, isn't it? Can you sense the drama? This is dramatic. Huh? Can you imagine the shock of all those that were standing? What? He wants that stone rolled back? What's the matter with him? You can see them all probably shrink back. And then Jesus speaks. He's not only, beloved, our hope over the grave, he's the hope, the hope over death. Over death. Verse 41, then, can you imagine them, took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe. What? That they may believe. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Huh? Yes. Jesus speaks to his Father here. But be mindful, Jesus was always in communion with his Father. It could be nothing else. Be mindful. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus declared, I and my Father are one. The communion between Jesus and his Father were constant. Constant. But Jesus speaks and he expresses his gratitude to his Father. I thankest thee that thou hast heard me. These words are just the outward expression of his inward fellowship. The inward, can we say it again? Plan. The plan of God for what was going to take place. And these words weren't for his Father's benefit. They're for everybody that's standing around's benefit. His words were for the crowd. Why? That they may believe. That they may believe. And then we see, he's a hope over the grave, hope over death. He is the conqueror of death. He defeats death. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. The idea of those words, they mean that he screamed. He literally yelled, Lazarus, come forth. Notice verse 44. And he that was dead. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him. Let him go. Set him free. Death no longer binds him. Wow. Jesus shout to his friend. Come. And they literally, he shouts it. Lazarus, come forth. Then we see Lazarus obeys. Lazarus' obedience here. Get those amazing words. I love it's underlined here with me. He that was dead came forward. Came forward. Lazarus comes out of that cave. Notice he's still bound hand and foot. Interesting, isn't it? He's still bound hand and foot. The grave clothes are wrapped around him, have him bound up. Even his head is bound up. Is it not intriguing to consider just how he came out of that grave? How is it that he came out of the tomb? Might we suggest that the word of Jesus, the Son of God, brought him out of the grave in the same way that that voice spoke and the universe came into existence. Can it not be that same voice that spoke the word to the winds on the Sea of Galilee, be still. And they were still. Could it not be that same voice as he spoke to the leprous man, be clean. And he was clean. Oh, wow. Can it not be that same voice that commanded the demons to flee from the demoniac fled. Jesus commanded and Lazarus obeyed. He came forward. When that voice commanded, when the voice of Jesus Christ commanded, corruption. Huh? Behold, he stinketh. Corruption put on incorruption. Mortality put on immortality. And as the Apostle Paul declared to the Corinthians, death was swallowed up in victory. Isn't it great? Wow. The message for the believer in Jesus is found back there in verses 25 and 26. Jesus saith unto her, he was speaking to Martha, remember? He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Listen to the words very carefully. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'll hold on to the last part for a moment. If you're saved, you're in this room this morning and you can say, I know I'm saved, Lord. There was a time when you were dead spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians 2 explains. You heard. Can I say it this way? You heard about Jesus. Huh? You heard what His Word says. You believed. You placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And were given life. Given eternal life. Huh? What does Jesus go on to say? Listen. And whosoever liveth. Are you alive in Christ today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You're alive in Him. You have spiritual life in Christ. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Huh? And what's He say? Believest thou this? Huh? Believest thou this? Yes. The lost man, the unbeliever, is dead spiritually. But when he believes in Jesus, he receives life. He receives life. He that is saved is one that is alive and does believe. And Jesus declares that that one will never die. Oh yes, the day will come when this old flesh will be laid aside. The day will come when this mortality will be laid to rest. Huh? But I will not die. If you're saved, you do not die. Please. Grave has no hold on anyone in this room that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus Christ has given you the victory over the grave. Death is swallowed up, consumed in victory. Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ is far more concerned about eternal life than He is physical life. Yes. Wow. Believest thou this? Believe what, Jesus? Believe what, Jesus? He's saying, do you believe me? Do you believe me? The question for us is, do you believe that faith in Jesus Christ is our provision for everlasting life? Whosoever, Jesus said, believeth in Him shall not perish, but have, shall possess,
amen,
eternal life, everlasting life.
Amen.
Wow. As we read, and we'll try to close. I'm sorry. You can't stop in the middle of something so good. Verse 45 tells us that the folks that witnessed this, what's it say? Verse 40, then many Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and notice it had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. How could you not? Roll the stone away. And that they saw this one, the Christ, the Son of God, defeat death and bring Lazarus back to his sisters. Oh my, there's so much more. Do we believe him? The question comes to this. Do we trust Jesus Christ? Believest thou this? Do you trust me in what I've told you? Do we believe that he is working out his plan for each and every one of his children? Be mindful. We belong to him. We're his. We're his people. He is going to do for us. You know, I like to ask questions. One last question will be done. Was Lazarus really dead? Well, physically, he sure was. Physically, there's no question that he was dead. But according to the guarantee of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him should, what? Never die. Jesus just brought Lazarus back. Just brought him back. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as death for the believer. Oh, that we would get that. Would it not change how we view life? How we view this life? If you're saved, you have eternal life right now. Let's stand together. Thank you for being so patient. Father, I thank you for this amazing, amazing record of what you did in that little town of Bethany outside of Jerusalem. Thank you for what that it's recorded for us this day, that we can enter in with Mary and Martha and, of course, Lazarus, the crowd that was there that day, Jesus' disciples. And we can, to some extent, place ourselves there at the scene, outside that cave, that tomb that held Lazarus. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this challenging, encouraging message that we can indeed trust you, that you are working out your plan for each and every one of your children. Lord, I confess there's times that I'm like that one who confessed, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, as we read this, surely our faith, our belief in you is must be strengthened, must be enlarged. Lord, thou art a great God. And as Martha and Lazarus, Mary, confess their love for you, we love you. And we're so grateful, so thankful for your love for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, for whoever might be in this auditorium this morning and is yet without Christ, does not have that peace, that confidence that they have eternal life. Lord, please, please do for them. Help them. As we've done our best to try to hold up Jesus, hold him up before their eyes today. They might see this one who died for them. Died to give them life. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother John.
Page 423.
As we sing, beloved, please obey the Lord. As he's pleased to speak to your heart, please just obey him. Whatever it is, he's able. He loves you. And he'll do for you. As we sing, please obey him.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Get the question all the way through.
The question that may be so pertinent in your heart and mind today. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? thou this? Do you believe that God indeed has have that perfect purpose for your life and that He is accomplishing those purposes? Wow. Huh? I don't know. I'm one of those people that know me know that I'm just a little OCD. I think I've got to have everything figured out. All the proverbial ducks in the row. And you know what happens when one of them ducks thinks it's going to jump out of line. Huh? Believest thou this, Jim?
Amen.
Do you trust me? Do you believe me? Huh? Oh, it's easy to say that right here now, isn't it? But what about tomorrow morning? This week, this month? Believest thou this? Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. Grace, grace, God's grace.
Grace, grace, God's grace.